This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program as we get away from that intro. Maybe the worst intro ever.
Courtney
535 shows. Can I do it
Courtney
again?
Courtney Banghart will be here at night.
Can I do that again? Because that was so terrible.
Let's just re-rack the whole thing.
I did such a terrible job. I want to do it again. All right. Can we do it again? Let's do it again. It's the Power Hour. And FPI gives me a 32% chance of getting this right this time. We continue to stream live on the ESPN app. We've got some SiriusXM Channel 371. And there is an assortment of terrestrial radio stations in the ACC footprint that have jumped on the Packer and Durham bandwagon. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number. And I just disproved FPI's 32% chance of me getting that right. So there you go. All right, Mr. Durham, we are now good to go on the Power Hour.
You sure?
Yep. Courtney Banghart.
Sure?
I promise you. We got to get it right. We're here to inform and entertain. We're not perfect. That was just proven multiple times this show, probably a couple hundred times. But we want to get it right. We want to get it right. At least I do.
How about a quick shout out to Steve West from Asheboro, North Carolina, before we get underway in the Power Hour? You want to show the album cover again?
Yeah, this is awesome.
Eric McClain, by the way, Tom Luganville, everybody loves this. Everybody thinks this is the best thing they've ever seen.
It's outstanding. It's from, of course, a little AC/DC for all you AC/DC lovers out there, the Highway to Hell album cover. And Steve West used Wes Durham, who is actually over here.
Right, other
Wes.
Side.
There's Wes.
Yeah.
I've got the Angus Young thing going on there with the horns. Here's Lugs right here, right? Mark Richt hiding between everybody. And way back here in the corner, that's Eric McClain right there. Highway to Charlotte, Packer and Durham right there. That's sweet. That will be in the basement, hung in a perfect spot. I got to figure out where to put this bad boy. But that was really well done. Excellent.
Wait till the man sees that, by the way.
Good. That's good work right there. That's a loyal listener and viewer right there. Steve West, Asheboro, North Carolina, and a note, which I really enjoyed. Excellent.
Appreciate that, Steve. All right, let's remind you, Courtney Banghart, coach of undefeated North Carolina. They welcome NC State to Carmichael Arena. She'll join us coming up at 9:30. She's always a blast to visit with. We're looking forward with that. We're going to take you through a really kind of hard-to-believe stat that Pack touched on in the last hour regarding ranked games in ACC basketball. There's only one ranked team, and nobody else received votes in ACC basketball this week in the AP poll. We're going to talk about ranked games and the void of them this year coming up as well. But first, new segment on the show. And for that, we have turned to the trusty Lumberjacks, Drew Brooks, Josh Macri, as we unveil Name That Team.
Are we going to do that
now? Yeah, so you guys were going to do this segment, not us, but I'm happy to walk you through it. What we're going to do is we're going to present you with four different topics or questions, statements, I should say, for every school, and we just want to know how much you've been paying attention. Some of them should be easy. Some of them will be a little bit more difficult. Yes, Wes.
Is Arizona State involved in this?
Sorry, I wasn't listening. We muted the room. Say that one more time.
Is Arizona State involved in this?
No, sir. These are only ACC basketball teams.
Okay.
These are teams that are currently playing basketball.
All right, Pack, any questions?
So we have five teams. This is for you.
By the way, I do have a question. I do have one question. Can we start the hour again?
Run it again. No, third time's a charm. You'll get a chance at the Power Hour tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. Okay, so we have five teams. We just want to know if you can identify them. We're going to start with team one. And this team has five players averaging 10 or more points a game. Any guesses?
I would guess Louisville.
Louisville's incorrect,
no, not
so
Louisville.
We will go to the second question or statement. This team is one of two ACC teams that are undefeated in true road games this season?
Well, it's
true road games, North Carolina.
North Carolina is correct.
Wow.
Proud of you, Wes.
Nice job.
The other two that we had there was this team has already played four ranked teams, and this is one of two teams with a new head coach this season.
By the way, can I come clean a second? I had to guess incorrectly. You know why? Because when I let the dogs out this morning, this stat was actually up, and I knew the answer, so I was just trying to pretend like I didn't know.
Oh, yeah, that's what they all say. Let's go to the next one. Can you identify this ACC men's basketball team? This team has not yet had a game postponed due to COVID.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame is incorrect. Moving along, this team
Notre
has
Dame,
had at least
COVID.
That is correct. Mike
oh,
Bray
that's right.
Get his chance at Coach K. This team has had at least 15 assists in four games already this season. Next
Clemson.
Question. Clemson is incorrect. This team has two conference
no, Clemson's had a game postponed
already this season.
That's right.
By the way, this is by far
two
the
conference
hardest
road wins
that we were going to ask you today.
Two conference road wins is Louisville.
Louisville is correct. Proud of you, Wes. 2 for 2. This team, the last clue was this team has two Power 5 non-conference wins already this season. We didn't have any easy clues there, and you got it. Good job.
That's a good.
Third
that
one.
Last stat was outstanding. That's a great bar bet.
Oh,
yeah, it
well,
is.
Thank you. Moving along here. This team.
I like this segment, Pac.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, let's see if you still like it. Yeah. We have three more to go. This team has two of the top five.
The problem is I've seen all the answers. I hate to say it. I've seen all the answers.
Okay. Well, this team, we'll see how Wes does, I guess. This team has two of the top five assist men in the league, but they're eighth in total assists, or in the league, I should say, in assists per game. We're going to start hiding stuff from you. We forget that your house is the basement.
I know. You know, I've walked the dogs. I swear to God, I walked the dogs down twice this morning, and on the screen were all these. I'm like, well, I wonder what they're doing today. And I'm like, well, I kind of feel like I'm cheating here. So I'm going to just, hey, I think it's Virginia.
Virginia? Is this?
Virginia is correct. Great job, Mark. These were the other clues.
I said Virginia.
This team lost.
I didn't know the answers either, and I said Virginia.
Wes, you're killing it. Don't let Mark ruin this for us. We still have two more to go. These were the other two clues. This team's lost two games already by 10-plus. They had three of those in all of last season, and this team has already lost as many home games as they have in any season since 2016 and 17. Next question for Wes. Next team, I should say. This team is one of seven in the ACC this season, where the leading rebounder is also the leading scorer.
Oh, I got an idea.
Not really narrowing it down there for you, Wes. We'll go to the next one. This team already has four wins.
Whoa.
10-plus this season.
I want to say Clemson.
Clemson is incorrect. We will go to the next one. This team won its third conference game last season on March 1st.
Oh, Pitt.
Pitt is incorrect.
No, wait. Boston College.
Also incorrect. We're going to go to the last one. This team has a longer winning streak already this season than any of the last three seasons.
Wake Forest?
Wake Forest is incorrect. The clue there on the third guess was the third conference win. One of the teams that's 3-0 already this season. Miami.
You.
Oh, Miami.
I'm feeling good about that. Okay, last one, Wes. Pack, I think you already know the answer to this, but we're going to do it anyway. This team has lost, I should say, its last two conference road games. kind of a trick question.
All right.
If I had a Swiss cheese sandwich right now, it'd be so good.
Wake?
No. He's just messing with you. Don't let him get in your head, Wes. This is just you and me here. This team has not played anyone in the Quad 2 or Quad 3 this season.
quad two or quad three. So they've either played, they've just played quad one games?
And four.
Jeez.
They're 7 or 8 or 9 and
four?
Quad four games.
Let's
go to the next clue. This team does not have a top five scorer in the league.
Is this Clemson?
This is not Clemson. Last clue here. This team has not left its city since November 30th.
Oh, it's BC. Is it BC?
It is not BC. Unfortunately, we got off to such a hot start. This is Duke. Their two conference road games are obviously last season, but tried to be a little bit tricky there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that took me into the ground.
I got to tell you, I love this concept. I just hate that I saw all the answers ahead of time.
Should we rerun
the
that
won't happen anymore.
Yeah, you want me to start the open? Yeah, we can do the open again and just kind of pretend. I'll get your third time's a charm. I got to tell you, I like the concept. I do.
Yeah, I do too. I want to keep it going. I think we should do it every week. Drew, well done. I like having one of the Lumberjacks moderate the segment, Tupac, because the Lumberjacks deserve more airtime. I'm all about airtime for Lumberjacks.
I think the Lumberjacks deserve some FaceTime, man. People like to see what's going on
That's
behind
true
the
too.
Scenes. They like to see what's happening behind.
That's right.
You know, whether it be Chrissy or Meg or whoever's running the show. I mean, you know, people want to see everybody that works on this
the
show.
The trick questions are fun, too. The two conference road losses. That was good. And that's true, actually. So that's why it was on there. Coming up, Courtney Banghart, bottom of the hour. When we come back, this AP rank thing is not good. Is it a telltale sign of to come? I don't know that yet. But I will tell you this, the lack of them is a thing. And that is the lack of ranked conference games against other ranked teams. Back after this on ACCN.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Got a big Thursday night of ACC women's basketball. And then when they're done, 10 o'clock, nothing but net. Kelsey Riggs with Kelly Gramlich, Coach McGraw, and Chelsea Gray to break down the ball games and look ahead to a busy weekend of ACC women's basketball. All coming up for you on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app.
Yeah, that NC State North Carolina women's game coming up Thursday night in Raleigh. Now, let me tell you something. We're going to have Courtney Banghart's coming on here in about 15 minutes. That's going to be go time Thursday night now for those two get together. Undefeated North Carolina, NC State rocking it. That'll be good stuff. Good stuff.
I agree with you on that one. Okay, Duke is the only men's team to receive a vote in the Associated Press poll. And according to Jared Benson on Twitter, that's the only time one ACC team has received a vote in 40 years. 40. As of now, the ACC will not have any ranked versus ranked matchups this season. The last time they did not have any ranked versus ranked conference games was 1966-67. I was one.
Let me give you some good news. The good news is we've still got time, right? We've still got time to get some other folks other than Duke ranked in the top 25. The only way that's going to happen is to win a bunch of games. So maybe, just maybe, we can do that. But Wes, the point of all of this is we are living through a time with men's basketball in this league that most of us have never seen before. And it adds to intriguing storylines in January and February of everybody else trying to figure it out and putting together some W's back to back to back to back. But I don't recall ever having conversations like we're having regarding men's basketball in this league where we're looking for teams to get hot to kind of join the mix. Now, Duke's ranked number two. They are certainly a team that can win the national championship. Again, knock on wood that everybody stays relatively healthy and we finish the season. But everybody else in this conference has to pick it up. Miami's gotten off to a cool start. We just talked to Malik Williams. The Cards have a zero in the loss column in conference play. This Virginia-Clemson game, by the way, which is tonight. And I just saw a crazy stat. Clemson will end up playing Virginia in back-to-back conference games. Right? Back-to-back conference games because of the pause and all that kind of stuff. Last time that happened, 1954. So crazy stuff is going on from a COVID perspective and from a league perspective as far as the men's game is concerned. The ladies, loaded. Got a ton of teams in the top 25. The men, totally different animal. Totally different animal.
Yeah. Let's give you a little snapshot of where we are. We talk about no rank versus ranked games this year. Last year, well, we didn't have a ton last year either. We had four. Okay, we had three in the final poll, but we only had four ranked matchups. 19-20, six, four in the poll. 18-19, different story. 27, five in the poll. And you see 17-18, 17 ranked matchups, five in the poll, 27-17, six in the poll, four teams were ranked every week. Look, is this the dip we talked about? Mark mentioned this last spring. We were concerned about ACC basketball on a lot of fronts, on the men's side especially. I would say that some of those fears, Pack, have been realized, at least for the time being, as we enter conference play here in January.
Yeah, you know, I remember you and I were talking about back in April, and I was like, hey, what does a roster look like? There's a lot of this transfer portal was really active going the wrong direction. There was a lot of guys leaving. Didn't necessarily see a lot of guys coming in, per se. And that's why I kept saying to you, hey, when this basketball season starts, let me know what a roster looks like, and then we'll be able to tell you, hey, they can play, they can't play, whatever the case may be. Duke and the incoming freshmen have been as good as advertised. And again, that team is really, really good. I think everybody else is kind of trying to figure it out, Wes. And Miami's been a pleasant surprise so far. Wake's gotten off to a great start. And, of course, they've gone back-to-back in road losses. And they get Florida State tonight, an important game. But that's, to me, the storyline of men's basketball in this conference. Said it already probably a half dozen times this week. Who can put together week-to-week winning streaks? Because the non-conference record is not great. It's one of the reasons you only see one ACC team right now receiving any votes in the AP Top 25. So that puts all the pressure on ACC men's basketball teams to win in the league. And when you lose at home, it's a big, it's more than just a loss. You're going to have to steal on the road once you lose one at home. So that's going to be, I think, the storyline for the next 2 months as far as men's basketball in this conference.
Yeah, the women's side tells a very different story.
Right.
And Courtney Banghart joining us here at the bottom of the hour. Six teams are ranked again on the women's side of the AP Top 25 poll. Louisville stands at number three. NC State is five. Georgia Tech, 16. Duke, 17. North Carolina at 19. And then Notre Dame at 20. In terms of rank versus rank matchups, they've already had a dozen of them and two more coming up on Thursday night. So from that particular situation, the women's game is in very, very strong hands. Just to give you an idea, the record for rank versus rank matchups in ACC women's basketball is 25 in the 2016-17 season. So this is clearly the ACC's most powerful women's lineup in the last 5 years and could end up being record-setting in that light, I think, before we're done.
Well, here's the other thing, too, Wes. I am very surprised that Virginia Tech did not crack the top 25. And again, you rattle all those teams off. Louisville, NC State, Georgia Tech, Duke, North Carolina, and Notre Dame, they're all legit. And Virginia Tech is playing right now as well as any of them. So you might as well make that seven as far as I'm concerned, because I think the Hokies are without a doubt a top 25, probably even better than that. So it just goes to show you the quality of depth of women's basketball right now. And right now the men are the mysteries, right? They're the whole collective mystery gang, all of them, this side of Durham, North Carolina. So two very distinct and opposite storylines in basketball in this league as we get cranked up here in 22.
By the way, the you mentioned both Virginia Tech and Wake Forest. They played a heck of a ball game on Sunday. Those are two teams that potentially could – Virginia Tech and then throw Wake Forest in there as well. Jen Hoover's team off to a good start. They could also join that list. There would be eight teams from the ACC potentially in the top 25 or in the neighborhood, certainly, as we move through conference play. All right, let's get to the Mark Packer world-famous ACC, or what we call the infamous ACC index card, where we measure foul margin and free throw margin in conference play. Pack's been doing this about 20 years, and here's volume one of the 21-22 season of ACC basketball, and you have cobbled together, pencil and paper, the numbers.
That's right. And again, we are not forming any opinion. That is up to you, the viewer and listener, to figure it out. But we'll do foul margin first. And again, the deal with this is if you're a positive, it's not good, right? You want to be a negative in fouls, meaning you've been called for less fouls. So if you look at this, Clemson and NC State right now at plus 11. And we'll keep in mind the Wolfpacks played three games, Clemson only two. On the flip side, on the other end of the spectrum, you see a pair of teams who are undefeated in the league, Miami and Louisville, negative 13, which means they've been called for 13 fewer fouls in their ACC games. Now, you know, Duke's only played one game, so it's still early in the process. Some teams have played one, some have played three, but this number and these switch flip, this thing's, hey, it'll flip-flop all year long, man. It's just, this is a moving target. But we're not here to tell you anything other than you to see the numbers, form your own opinion. Simple as that.
There you go. Foul margin, the first one. Free throws is the second card, Pack.
Yeah, it's a little different. Free throw margin on this bad boy. A plus is good in this particular case. Once again, Miami and Louisville, when you look at the standings, they have a zero on the loss column. Canes have gone to the line 29 more times than their ACC opponents. Louisville, 23 more. So if you got a plus sign, that's good. If you have a negative sign, there could be a number of reasons for it. Maybe you take too many threes. Maybe you're not aggressive going to the basket. Whatever the case may be, Wake's on the bottom end of that deal at a negative 31. Notre Dame, another three-point shooting team, negative 15. So, again, Clemson fires a bunch of threes. They've been hot for doing that. They're a negative 14. So, again, we're not trying to tell you anything other than here are the numbers. You form your own opinion and or conspiracy theory.
There we go. All right. Opening edition of the infamous ACC index card. Take a break here. When we come back, off to Chapel Hill we go, ahead of the Tar Heels and the Wolfpack. Courtney Banghart returns to Packer and Durham. Undefeated, by the way. We'll talk to her next on ACCN.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hey, don't forget Thursday night on ACC Network and the ESPN app. Doubleheader for you. Clemson, Florida State at 6, and then the showdown. Number 24, North Carolina. Number 5, NC State at 8 o'clock. Reynolds Coliseum. Tar Heels and Wolfpack. Get it on in the first of two this year right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. By the way, they're 19th now, Pack. Carolina is now 19. The graphic says 24, but they're actually 19. NC State's still 5.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you the way we're going this hour, give us another 15 minutes, we got North Carolina number one before the end of the show. The way we're rolling today. Courtney Banghart probably go for that. Be my guess. Coach, yeah. I'm all for it.
Yeah, let's sit there in the chair, and all of a sudden her team moves up the pole. Works just like that. No big deal. All right, off to Chapel Hill we go. The head coach of the Tar Heels is Courtney Banghart, one of our show favorites. Hello, Courtney. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, guys. Long time no see. Good to see you.
First of all, Happy New Year, right? First of all, Happy New Year, right? That's the first thing. Second thing.
Yeah, happy kids back in school is really what the thing is.
You know what? I was going to go there with you. That's exactly where I was going to go. You are so smart. We can't get anything by you. Can't get anything by you. By the way, what's it like to be undefeated early January? That feels pretty good, right? That's kind of what we signed up for.
It's exactly what we signed up for. It's great. I mean, each day these kids are really committed to the process. And when that leads to wins, you're a happy coach.
Courtney, Deja Kelly goes for 31 the other day, and you beat Clemson by 19. Yet here's this sophomore averaging 17.5 points, shooting 42% from three. And look, she's not taking a ton of them. I mean, she's getting her cuts in 13 games. She's got 55 attempts. What's the secret? What's Deja Kelly done to stay on this fast track for you?
You know, the game of basketball is really fair in that the time you put in often gets to results. And this is a kid that's in the gym all the time. You know, people have asked, what would we do with the extended arc? And, you know, you just adjust. And so, you know, these guys put the reps in. Those nets are busy in Carmichael. Mm-hmm. And it's good to see it pay off for her because she's certainly a gym rat.
Is this your deepest team, Coach? Because it seems like you have a lot of folks who can put the ball in the basket, which is a beautiful thing in this day and age.
Yeah, you know, we got a lot of weapons. When you say deepest, when we picked up two quick fouls in the first quarter of the last game, I didn't feel so deep without both Kayla McPherson and Tiani Key and Ariel Young. Those are three guys that we're going to have considerable minutes for us that are out for the year. So I wouldn't say we're super deep and can absorb foul trouble and can absorb some things like that. But the ones that play are all dangerous. There's no sort of weak link in this operation.
All right, but now hang on. You've got six players averaging 20 minutes or more a game. That is a rarity in college basketball. Yeah. I don't care if you're playing – you know, Division II, Division III, whatever the deal is. So you've got six at 20 minutes or more. You got another three in double figures. You've got nine players 10 minutes or more a game. So who's managing the punch clock over there on the bench to say, hey, wait a second, you know, we got to go get Alexandria her 10 minutes. You know, we got to get 20 for Anya. I mean, how does it work for you? Do you have rotations? I mean, That's a big number. 9, 10 or more is a big number.
It sure is. Yeah, it's contributing for sure. COVID's part of it. You know, you got kids in and out all the time. And then obviously the scoring, the kind of landslides that we're winning by is giving people opportunities as well. But, you know, we've got 11 in uniform every night, and I can count on any of them at any time. And we try to make sure that we've got enough experience. Shall we absorb any foul trouble or anything else, and we'll need them. So I always say you get better at college basketball by playing college basketball, not by watching it. And hopefully our guys are getting more experienced every minute.
All right, so that leads to Thursday night. It's North Carolina, it's NC State. I said the other day, it doesn't matter if it's cornhole, football, basketball, flipping coins. These two get together, it's just part of the deal. It's part of the ACC DNA. They don't like each other. It's Carolina blue, it's red and white of NC State. But what it really is Thursday night are two really good, well-coached and talented teams. So how's it feel? Undefeated going into NC State. You know how good Les's team is. They're always loaded. This is really what it's all about, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is why you join the ACC, for opportunities like this to play two top 20 teams. Like you said, two premier teams in the country going at it that are going to be a drive away from one another. So you can have fans from both regions care about the game. And this is what it's all about. You know, West brought everybody back. We start four sophomores, so we still have a bit of an inexperience gap to recover from. And so we'll have to bring a little bit added intensity and added accountability because of that.
Now, Courtney, everybody who talks about NC State starts with Kunane. However, in talking to my friend Debbie Antonelli and Kelly Gramlich, I mean, you got to dive deeper into this. It's more than just the big in the middle that drives this team. It's a big part of it. But they are as good a basketball team as we have in the college game. Yet you've developed here very quickly a competitive group as well. Where do you feel like your team is emerging to challenge NC State at those levels? And you've had some success against them already, too.
Yeah, absolutely. We're 2-2, and I think both years they had the better team. And so we were able to find a way. And I think, like you said, we're closing that gap pretty quickly. You know, but what makes them great is exactly what Debbie said. It's just like what makes us great is it's not a one-headed monster by any stretch. You know, it's much easier to scout against a team where you've got to worry about two or three guys at most. And then you've got a lot of, you know, auxiliary pieces. And NC State is a lot like Carolina. You know, I don't know who you're going to focus on. Of course, Deja and Kunane sort of highlight on the stat sheet and highlight for the media. But when you get inside those lines, it's about so much more than those two kids. And that's what makes them good. And so it's two really good basketball teams, 5-on-5, that are going to do what they do.
Coach, I know how competitive coaches are. I mean, you're not in this business if you're not, because if you aren't, you get weeded out in a second. We've seen some dialogue involving one current coach, one former coach, who have still gone after one another, and they don't even see each other anymore. What's your relationship like with Wes? Because I know that anytime State and Carolina fans get together, I know how that works out. So what's the relationship like with you and Wes? Just curious.
Well, yeah. Well, I feel like you're getting me in trouble here, because I remember we played at Duke maybe it was last year, and there was a big rainstorm. And so there was a nice human who had an umbrella who walked me from the bus to the front station. I thought that was really nice. So I tweeted out that, boy, it was nice to be greeted with an umbrella at Duke. And I got like hammered for liking anything Duke. So, you know, if you're asking me honestly, you know, I've known Wes a long time. We both came from the mid-major ranks and have sort of built teams, not just individuals. So there's a lot of like-mindedness there. And then we know that we're responsible for a basketball state and two of the premier programs. So I think there's a real level of respect for both programs. Now, we both also know that we've inherited and we're contributing to a great rivalry. And so part of the allure of that is that the teams don't like each other. And so I guess on paper, we're not supposed to like each other either. But you know, I'm a little bit too nice to get too involved in all that stuff.
All right, now I know when like Mark and I were exposed as wee children to the State Carolina thing or the Duke Carolina thing. When did Courtney Banghart realize that when she became the head women's basketball coach at North Carolina that there was this thing with NC State?
It's a great question. I'm glad you asked, because I had absolutely no idea. I knew the Duke North Carolina thing was real, and it was actually a huge draw for me. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've always wanted to coach in that game, since I couldn't play in it. But the very first time we played NC State, we were at home, and I remember leaving my office. I walked out into the Carmichael Arena, and I was like, "Holy moly, people have arrived!" Right, and that was, you know, we were still building, and that was not a team that I think was super easy to watch on our end. And I just couldn't believe the number of fans. And I got a call from Roy Williams that morning that said, he calls me Courtney Kid, and he said, "Courtney Kid, now I don't ask for too many things from you, but I gotta say, I hate NC State. So I'm going to be there tonight. I need this to be a win. And I'd love to give you a hug after the game, but if you're not winning that game, I'm leaving. I'm not watching NC State beat Carolina." And then I knew, okay, it's on.
That is hilarious. By the way, I just checked awesome. The weather forecast for Raleigh. No chance of rain, so you won't get in any trouble with an NC State person directing you to the arena on Thursday night. But that's a great story. You know what? And given what Roy's success was against NC State, he meant that. And that wasn't just lip service from coach to coach. He did not like losing to NC State. Of course, he didn't do it very often. But as fans growing up in the state of North Carolina, I was an NC State fan growing up as a kid. Man, it was just the way it was. According to, you got to root for somebody. You know, and Billy wasn't going, you know, my old man Billy Packer was going to let me root for Carolina. Because everybody knew that Billy hated North Carolina.
No.
So, you know, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, right.
So,
okay, keep that going.
But you just knew
when you grew up in this state, you chose. Hey, it was dark shade of blue, light shade of blue. It was the red and white. It was the black and gold. I mean, that was just the way it works. And that's why it runs so deep in that DNA when you're from this state. That hey, you know what? You don't morph in anything. You got to figure it out ASAP, and it doesn't take long.
Yeah. I got to say, it's the best. I mean, this is. I remember I came down when I visited my sister who lives in Chapel Hill, and I was going to her school. She's a school teacher, and one of the little kids who met me outside to walk me in said, he didn't say hello or who are you, or he said, "Do you go for NC State? Do you go for Duke? Or do you go for Carolina?" And I was like, wow, welcome, right? To be a part of a tradition of competitiveness inside these lines, this is what college basketball is about. I mean, every game's important to a competitor. Mm-hmm. But to be in an environment that there's a lot of people that care about this game, whether you're living in California or China. I mean, there's a lot of people. And, you know, you couldn't wish for anything more.
Yep.
I will ask you one more question about this game.
Okay.
Only because Mark and I are probably a little jealous that State Carolina on the women's side still get to play this thing at Reynolds Coliseum.
Yeah.
Just like you get to play it at Carmichael. The men's side of this game has gone to a bigger arena. And in some ways, that's great. And in some ways, it's lost the intimacy of what it used to be. So when you walk in that arena and you know you're probably getting a full house, weather permitting, you're going to get a full house Thursday night, just like you would have a full house if they came to your place. What does that do for your team? What does it do for your program? And you just mentioned this. They care from California to China. But we're in a year where we just chronicled this, Courtney. This league has got a chance to take a real strong national stage this year. These are two of the better teams in the league. What does that mean to you in the bigger picture beyond playing in that environment on Thursday?
Yeah, intimacy is a great word for it. It's not going to feel so cozy, but it will be intimate for sure. I appreciate you giving us the chance to recognize those things, which is this is a premier league, and to have an opportunity, honestly, to play in front of that many people and to wear the competitiveness and the opportunity of showing what ACC basketball is about. I mean, I have to say, it's why I came, right? It's why I was really careful about which school and where and how and when, and to be a part of a national brand, an international brand, and to be a part of a basketball school in a lot of ways. We have an opportunity to showcase ACC basketball at the highest level. The really fine student athletes that play this game, and the way in which they play together is going to be on display for both teams. This is two college basketball teams. This is not a bunch of stars out there doing what they do. It's a bunch of stars playing inside a hole. And that's when basketball is really pretty. So it's going to be a great environment. It's going to be a great viewing opportunity for so many people. Like you said, Reynolds Coliseum is super small. I mean, it feels like about 3,000 seats. I don't know, it might be 4, but it's super small. And, you know, so it's going to be packed and hot and loud, and there's something special about that. So it's ACC basketball at its finest for sure.
Yeah, you're right about that. All right, we've been asking this question for about the last 3 or 4 weeks for coaches to come on the show. And not that you're going to need a whole lot Thursday night because everybody's going to be juiced up and ready to roll. But for Coach Courtney Banghart, what is your walk-up music? What's the song that gets you absolutely ready to roll? What is it?
Wow, that is a great question. Because it really changes. I'm not you should know this about me, I'm not super routinized. You know, I feel like the life is so ever-changing that I don't want to be stuck in any routine, nor do I want my kids or my team stuck in a routine, because then it's easy to get off of it. So I really change it. It could be some R&B, old school R&B. It could be some rap. It could be some country. I'm about as versatile musically.
All right, let me rephrase the question then.
Okay.
It's game day.
Yeah.
It's game day. It's NC State. It's Louisville. It doesn't matter. It's game day. What's the song for you?
I just told you that it's hard for me to pick one.
No, I'm putting you on the spot. It's New Year.
How about I list?
You're undefeated. You don't get a chance to say, well, you know, hey, we're 13-2. No, you're 13-0. Everything you've touched has turned to gold. So here we go.
Yeah.
What's the song?
Good point. I listened to One, an R&B version of One on the way in today, and it worked. So maybe that'll be it tomorrow. That'll be it on Thursday.
So revision of U2's One.
Yep.
You know, it's funny you should say that, because I was on my walk yesterday and I was listening to U2, and that song is unbelievable. That song
is a good song.
Fantastic.
Well, there you go.
I liked it.
Hey, by the way, Courtney, we have not forgotten the long-appointed cocktails later in life, as they say, down the
you
road.
You haven't?
Don't worry,
okay,
we haven't
good.
Forgotten about all that. No,
I've
we
got,
haven't forgotten about all that.
In my stocking, you won't believe it, in my stocking, I was given a bottle of Woodford. In my stocking, so Santa doesn't mess around.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well done.
So
well
Santa
done.
Santa brought the kids like hoverboards, and they brought me a bottle of Woodford. So my mom, Santa Claus is going. Santa Claus living.
Yeah.
Hey.
Santa's doing it big for you.
I think Santa's, you know, I got one of those too, Courtney. I think Santa went directly from Chapel Hill to Charlotte. I think he was on the Woodford Reserve Express.
Yeah.
That's a good.
Okay. Well done.
One ice cube.
Hey, good luck Thursday night. Hey, thanks for the time as always.
I suggest just one ice cube. That's all you need. Just let it marinate a little bit.
There we go.
That's
okay.
It.
There we go.
A little rhythm and blues, a little one in the back, a little Woodford Reserve. Good to go.
Unbelievable. Thanks, Coach. Be well.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
You bet. Courtney Banghart, head coach at Carolina. Tar Heels and Wolfpack Thursday night right here on ACC Network. When we come back, wide receiver U, the bowl edition. Our closest vote yet.
No kidding.
Mark Packer.
How about that?
Closest yet. We'll see who the winner was. And Packer's prep phenom yesterday that did not make the nomination list. We'll show you that clip as well.
Oh, next. Good. Definitely.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Stubby little fingers that guy has.
How oh, my God, stop.
How do I know?
Because your mom.
Heard it from a family member. It's an inside yeah. joke.
Well, we may tell that story before the week's over, by the way.
Tell it now if you want.
We may have to tell that story. No, we don't have time. We'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah, we got plenty of time. We already redid the hour open. This whole hour has just kind of been a fake left go right.
No, we don't have time.
I like the fact that Courtney Banghart got a little Woodford in the stocking. That to me was a highlight of the show.
I knew you would.
I like that.
There you go.
Excellent.
All right, we're going to give you the winners of wide receiver U in a minute. First of all, yesterday on the show, Packers said in the Under Armour All-America game over the weekend on ESPN, there was a play by a future ACC star that probably deserved to be on the nominee list since it was technically postseason. Roll the videotape on Jaden Lucas, who apparently is going to Clemson.
Look at that catch.
Oh, wait a second.
Look at that catch. That's why I said it should have been a nominee. I know he's not officially enrolled yet. I guess not. But good grief, was that a play.
Do we get to see that again, by the way? Because that right there was out of control. Oh, you got a turnover chain for the Under Armour game. You go on the podium. You get a belt. What else do you do?
Here you go. Watch. This is even a better.
Look at this. Stop. Oh.
Now,
wait a second.
I
got Andrew Booth. They don't need that.
I suggested, look at that play. Good grief. I suggested yesterday that should have been a nominee for wide receiver U. The guy's a future ACC player. It was a postseason play. And I got nixed on it. That's
what are we
fine.
Doing?
What else is new? I'm All used right. to it. So there you go.
All right. Well, of the eligible players, of those who participated in bowls, here we go. Antoine Green finished at 17%.
Wow.
Here's Antoine Green against South Carolina in the Mayo game.
That's all?
Backing out of bounds. 17%. That's all we got.
Wow, that's a good catch, too.
All right, next up, 19.6. Bo Collins, Cheez-It game. Ooh, Ungulale throwing it out of bounds. Collins gets it off a deflection. Heck of a play. I still think this is kind of remarkable. Hey, he's throwing it out of bounds. Anyway, next up, silver medalist, second place, Zion Keith of Wake Forest at 31.1. Uh-oh. There's the interception off the deflection of Travion Redd. So Zion Keith finishes second. Now, remember, I've said 17, 19.6, and 31.1. 1.1% higher, and the winner of the bowl edition of WRU, Mario Goodrich of Clemson, who took the Purdy deflection to the house. There you go, right there. Mario Goodrich, 32.2%, closest wide receiver U ever. There you go. Congratulations to Mario Goodrich. Thanks to Bill Conley, Malik Williams, Courtney Banghart, and to Mark Packer. Day 3 of the Packer Wellness Plan continues. See you.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.